today is going to be a good day. I got a feeling today's going to be a good. It's a very good day. We're going to talk about some of the things we conclude our series on doing what we actually hear God say as we follow the leader. We're going to talk about the things that we have been doing because we heard from God over 2 years ago in the Game Change campaign as we started it, as those of us who are committed to Jesus and Crossroads, we said we're going to give above and beyond what we regularly give, and there's amazing, great results to celebrate today, and so we're going to talk a bit about that while we try to help all of us make the right applications to all of our lives and all the spheres of influence that we live in when we leave here today. So let's pray before I go any further. God, thank you for the opportunity to just talk about encouraging stuff and in a world in which encouragement's hard to find, I thank you that you're giving it to us today. I also am appreciative that I get to talk about things that actually have eternal impact. Thank you for that privilege, and I pray that the words that I have will be helpful to every person in here to get us to a place where we experience you in a more fulfilling way because we're following you. And I pray these things according to your character, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So one of the things that's a difficult thing that people in my position have to think about every once in a while is, are the things that are said from up here, are they actually followed through on? I mean, most people that come to an environment like this, you know, we go out and say, oh, how was it? Like, I had a good time, laughed. Oh, that was good when you said this. But if there was an app that could be installed on your smartphone where I could find out exactly what you did differently 7 days later, I probably would not want that app to be invented because I think I'd be depressed. It's the bane of every communicator's existence to think through, does this actually have an impact on somebody's life? And so as we've been talking about how to hear from God, how do we sense those subtle urges and discern, is that God or the pizza I had last night? It's a final shot to help us to see if we do discern the quiet nudges of God and we fall through, there is amazing payoff. I mean, the greatest motivator for hearing and doing the will of God are the results of hearing and doing the will of God. Boy, that's so good. Let me just quote myself right here. That's so good. The greatest motivator to hear God and go where he tells you to go is the results of hearing God and going to where he tells you to go. Over 50 times, Jesus says to people in the New Testament, it's recorded over 50 times, follow me, follow me, follow me. Here's the very first one, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When I first had this passage communicated to me or read to me, the person, I don't know who it was, but they did an awful job explaining it. Because the picture I have in my mind was, first of all, some dudes were fishing, and they're kind of going like this, you're doing this. That's the first error. They were not fishing like that. It was not recreational fishermen. It was commercial fishermen. So they're throwing nets over, trying to pull them in. The second thing is I assume that there was this strange figure that came up on the shoreline named Jesus, who they had never interacted with before, and he says, you follow me. And he must have had some oogly boogly spiritual powers. He made them into zombies instantaneously, and they dropped those, we'll follow you. I mean, why else would someone just stop what they're doing and then leave their life? It's not at all what happened. He had an ongoing friendship with these people. He had been leading them. He had been influencing them in all the spheres of their life. And it comes to a point to see if they will give their entire lives to his call of changing the world. And he says, okay, now, you follow me? And they said, yeah, yes, we're in. And this is still what God does today. He comes to normal people he's been building into, like everyone in here, everyone at all Florence, all Mason, says, will you follow me? Will you go from where you are to a new place? When God speaks, he does speak encouragement to us. He does speak love. And he also speaks, here's where we're going. We must go. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that you know that you're starting to hear from God is when you see yourself the way you really are, and when you start to see there's new places you need to go. You ever notice that popular singers, most of the songs that are written are about, you know, romances and stuff like that? That makes sense. It touches the heart. Art comes out of that. You ever notice how many songs are about breakups? You ever notice how many of those songs take Has one person taken responsibility? Never. Never. I mean, you never hear a song about somebody who's been, I messed up. Adele. Adele, where would she be if she actually took responsibility for her breakups? I mean, can you imagine? You know, she sang, "We could have had it all if I changed the way you wanted me to change." No, she doesn't sing that. Guy always walked all over her. Or how about Taylor Swift? I'm sure she's a good girl, wonderful, that kind of stuff. But man, how many boyfriends can she write about that she's broken up with her? Maybe the boyfriend first said to her, "Taylor, we've talked about this. You have to change it. It's not working for me. If you don't, then I'm going to have to break up and we will never, ever, ever get back together." Never, ever. The normal way that we all live is to say, somebody else did this to me. I shouldn't have changed. It's all somebody else's problem, not my problem. And one of the ways that you know that God's starting to get involved in your life is you see yourself for who you really are. You start to take responsibility. You start to go to new places. So what God does in every life that he lives in, some of the greatest things that happen at Crossroads are not things that show up on a budget sheet or things that are announced from stage. It's whatever you all do when you hear from God and put it into place in your neighborhood, in your family, in your school, in your workplace. That's the best stuff that we don't even hear about. When Libby and I first came to Cincinnati, it was because 11 people invited us to come here and start Crossroads, be the first pastor and start Crossroads. And, a couple of those families, we just feel a total kindred spirit towards. Virtually anything they would do, anything they would ask, we would do, because so much in our life is in a good spot because of their initial invitation. Two of those folks left very secure jobs and started a media company because they realized so much of the media just fuels a mentality that isn't altogether healthy. And a major, major step of following the lead where he would go. And what do you know? They interact with another television producer that is following the leader. He's had amazing things happen in his life with Jesus. And he's going a new path. He's the most successful television producer of all time. You ever hear of Survivor? That's him, Mark Burnett. You ever heard of him? You ever hear The Voice? That's his. Apprentice? That's his. Smarter Than the Fifth Grader? That's his. And the list goes on and on. And he's decided to create, and they're partnering with him, a television series that tells the story of the Bible. It's pretty interesting. Check this out right here.
God is bringing disaster from Babylon.
Lady, I believe your son is the promised king of his people. What is his name?
Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Man, now that's the second advertisement I've done in 17 years. People ask me to pump their stuff all the time, and I do it, but those people, because I owe my life to them, yeah, I'll do that. And I actually do believe it's going to be a cool thing, and it's a little interesting thing to say. Why is it people are still telling the story that's in the Bible? Why is it? It's because it's captivating to think about how people went from one place to another. That's what Jesus has always done. He calls people from one place following the leader. One of his initial calls, when he gave to people, he gave it very straight to the heart. Here's what he says in the book of Matthew chapter 16. Jesus told disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The cross was an execution instrument and wasn't a religious instrument. When he said this, it was an execution instrument. So he's saying, go to me even at the risk and peril of your own life. We get asked frequently, how come Crossroads doesn't have crosses on walls or something like this? And, you know, just to be clear, very clear. We are pro-cross. I am pro-cross. I'm all for the cross. I'm excited that all of my issues and sins, my sexual rebellion, my financial rebellion, my relational rebellions, all those things, that there's a just God that chose not to make me pay for all those individual acts, but Jesus offered himself, the perfect God-man, on a cross and died for all my... I'm so thankful for that. And I don't want to trivialize it by putting it someplace. I definitely want to put it on my car. If I put it on my car, then I can't cut you off and give you hand gestures. I definitely don't want to do... Actually, I do not do that. I might cut people off. I do not do hand gestures. By the way, if you give hand gestures when you're in a car driving away, you are a weenie. I'm sorry. You are a coward. Oh, wow, manly man. Anyway, one of the things that bothers me incredibly. The other thing that's troublesome how we view the cross is we view it as a stationary, holy object, and that is not at all how Jesus initially cast the vision for it. The cross is not an ultimate destination point. The cross is not some place where you come or a mentality that you have where you come to a cross as the ultimate defining point and you circle up with people and sing kumbaya. That's not what the cross is. The cross is not a destination point. The cross is a gateway. It's a place where you come, you have your sin atoned for you, you feel the cleansing of forgiveness, the approval of God. You say, okay, whoo, let's go. Let's get on with things. And you got to come back and recognize what's happened there. But the cross, as Jesus says, pick it up. And he doesn't say, put it in a place and go there every week and think about it. No, pick it up and follow me because I'm moving. I'm moving. Let me tell you something. If you want to get closer to God, you got to be ready to move. In fact, every story in the Bible that's inspirational, every single one, is when people are moving. That's what they do. Last week, Chuck here in Oakley, Mark Setcher in Mason, and Terry down in Florence talked about the tribe, how we need other people around us, family, extended family, community, church, a tribe. We are a tribe to hear the words of God and to go and do things. Florence asked me to come down at the last Wednesday service, this last Wednesday. Chuck was handling it in Oakley, and Mason couldn't get a building to rent on Wednesday night, so they couldn't have theirs. Another reason why we need to get a building for Mason. And I was, it was awesome to go down. They said, all we want to do is tell tribal stories. Tell the stories of Crossroads. Tribal stories is when the tribe comes around a campfire and relives the amazing things that have happened. And that's what happens in the Bible. All these stories that are recounted that someone's making a movie of are things where people moved. In fact, every story that you tell over and over and over again with your friends and family is all action-oriented. You never say, man, remember that one time we just sat around? Hey, you remember that one time we got that DVD series about yourself, how to get yourself in shape, and we said, no, I'm not going to do that. You never tell that story. You never tell the story of, hey, you remember when we saw what everybody else was buying and we decided, hey, we're going to do it too. You never tell those stories. It's always when you stand out, you're different, and you go a place. So I told like 12 back-to-back stories. If you've been around for a long period of time, you probably heard just about all of them. But it was really fun. And one of them specifically had a lot of traction to it. People said, you might think about saying that this weekend. So I'm going to. Some of you heard this story before, but I'm going to talk about it from the standpoint of how to hear God, an example again of how to hear God and actually act. So here at Oakley, we were in a Hyde Park place where we were renting. And we were outgrowing that. We needed a permanent spot. And this old building over here was called HQ, home quarters. It was a lumber warehouse, basically, a Home Depot, except ineffective and unsuccessful. And they had Builders Square, HQ, I think Heckinger's, all these things all over the country. And we found out that they were going out of business, and we were going to bid on this property. And so we decided to have a prayer meeting. We couldn't tell everybody in the church that we were going to have a prayer meeting because we knew that the reason HQ was going out of business is they were managed awfully, and they had actually marketed their building going for sale awfully. And we didn't want to tell people in the church about this opportunity and have somebody in the church outbid us and outpay for it. So we got 30 trusted people. We got in the parking lot, probably about right where I'm standing, actually. Yeah, probably about right where I'm standing. And we were just praying that God would help us to have the right amount of favor to buy this property. The next day, I was going to Wall Street with our attorney and real estate agent to put a bid on this. And so we're praying in a circle, and I've got my daughter, oldest daughter, Lena, there, and she says, as we're praying, she reaches up and holding her hand and says, hey, Dad, why don't we march around this building 7 times, just like Joshua did with the city of Jericho, and maybe God will give us this building. Now, actually, she says that she said that. I don't really remember her saying that, but I might not remember saying it because number one rule of leadership is always take credit for yourself. I said, that's a good honey. All right, folks, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around the building 7 times, and we're going to be silent just like God, just like the nation of Israel was. We're going to pray that God blinds and confuses our enemies. We had $4.6 million we had scraped together from financing, people who gave special gifts, our savings. And so that's what we're going to do. So I was like, whoo, let's go. So we're going off. This is a follow thing. Again, here, go back here. When she said that to me, I go, oh, interesting opinion. But I heard that and I went, boy, that sounds like a creative. It's actually been done before. In my mind, in my heart, I thought, there's no reason God wouldn't want that to happen. In fact, one of the things that my credo is always make an aggressive mistake. Never a passive one. Always making it. So I'm going to assume God prompted her to do that and to tell me. So I was like, oh, let's go. So off we go, and we're all following. So I'm following. I'm thinking I'm following God as we're following. We're walking around this building and walking. Everyone's like silent. And I tell you what, it's a big freaking building. We're going around the whole thing. It took us about 10 minutes for every lap we had all the way around the building. I mean, it was a huge building, big garden center. And I remember walking. I was carrying my son, I think, on my shoulder. I was carrying Lena. My back was giving me hard times at that point. I was falling behind a guy named Marcus. He had penny loafers on. He had these things called chinos. They weren't khakis back there. They were chinos. He just came from work. There's big weeds over on this side, and all these 30 people are coming around. As I'm walking around, I'm thinking, I think two times probably does it. I think that ought to actually do it. So I'm thinking through to myself, okay, how do I go faster, get ahead of people, so when we turn the final corner, I can say, okay, everybody, great job. You know, that's all we're going to do. So as I start to think about the logistics of that, I have another conversation that happens in my mind where I start thinking, no, why do you want to stop after only two times? And I started having this thought, well, I want to stop after two times because people weren't used to this. It's going to take a long time. It's 20 minutes for two laps. And as I was talking, I just started thinking about, in the scriptures, all the amazing things God, very few of them are preceded by inactivity. They're preceded by somebody following and being diligent, and then God does the supernatural. And so as I was thinking, at some point I started praying and thinking to myself, and then all of a sudden popped my mind, Brian, you want me to do a miracle for you, but you don't want to walk seven times. And I said, all right, I'm going to assume that's God right there. I'm assuming that's God. So we walk. We kept going. And the building was so big that you want to cut corners, but you can't cut corners because there's concrete, cinder block, and chain link fence. But you're getting as close to the building as you can. You know, all this 30. As we're going around. Oh, by the way, HQ is still open. They're still open right now. So we go around. There's these automatic doors in the front. And go, all these people going, what in the world is going on? 10 minutes later, this 30 blob person. A couple years ago, we had a guy come in to get some coffee in our atrium, and he was a security guy. And he said, I remember you people that night. I remember you. This is weird. What's happening here? Amazing. Next day, I went to Wall Street, and we got the property for exactly what we had left. Exactly. When we got back, I had a phone call from another corporation, and they offered double of what we had paid for it. In fact, over the next year, we would have three businesses offer double to triple of what we had paid for it. Why? Because they had either missed their flight to come. One situation, it was partners, and they thought, I thought you were going. God literally blinded and confused our enemies. Literally blinded. We could, if any of those folks had shown up, we could not have had that. In fact, I just found the tribal story. I just found something out after the last service. I didn't even know this. That the real estate agent that we were working with when we bought the old-time pottery down in Florence was actually one of the parties that got blinded and confused. And he said, I don't know what happened last time. But whatever happened last time, I want to be in on it this time. It's amazing those things happen. Now, all those stories come from how God works in people to go to new places. And we heard as a church years ago that there was a major infusion of cash we had to give to things that we've been doing and funding through our regular ministry giving. It was the Game Change campaign. So four things we want to do in rank order of importance and rank order of financial outlay was multi-site. We wanted to start different sites of Crossroads all over the city, not just to bring people in relationship with God, but because we wanted a wider base to mobilize people and bless the world. Number two, CityLink. CityLink. Number three, South Africa. And number four, woo, someone's happy there. Number four, India. So we're going to look right now. I talked about so many times we say things, but we don't do them. We're going to look right now at what we've done versus what we said. In fact, if you want to go back to November 1st, 2010, I laid out specific graphs of what we were planning to do with the money, if we got 30 million, if we got 50, or if we got 70. You can go back and re-listen to that if you want to. I'm going to tell you right now where we are and what we've been doing. It's pretty encouraging stuff. First of all, first graphic for you is we actually had committed was $51.7 million. What we've received so far and spent, we're not hoarding on savings, we're spending it, is $23 million. We're projecting to have $37.5 million in. That's not good enough. We're working hard for that not to be the case. It's just an Excel spreadsheet of, okay, if it continues going the way it is, this is what it would come out as. We're going to look at the 23, what's happened with the 23 versus what we said we would do if we had 30. Okay, here's what we said. Number one, for multi-site, we would have two sites, and hopefully at two sites, we would have 3,500 additional seats at optimal times. This is what we were hoping for. What we've done is we've opened Florence with 3,000 seats at two services. Florence started popping and making things happen. We were thinking smaller sites, smaller, more sites. We realized the logistics of that just weren't going to work. So we did a bigger one with that. And after 8 weeks, Florence was still growing and doing amazing. We said, and all new volunteers came in and said, let's start a Saturday night service. Talk about a tribal story, a brand new church in 8 weeks' time, turning around and starting a Saturday night service, all the infrastructure, crazy. On top of this, we've been developing a Mason building plan that will have a 2,000-seat auditorium in it that we're working right now, and we're currently looking for our fourth site. We right now have over-delivered with $23 million on our least ambitious of the goals. And the greatest thing in here is the life change that's been happening and the wider base for infrastructure. There's 1,000 Thanksgiving boxes that came out of Florence. 1,000. 685 Angel Tree gifts to bless kids who wouldn't have gotten a gift because their parents were incarcerated, all from them. And there's a personal life change that happens in the midst of it. One person wrote in to Terry Phillips recently, she said this, at first, the coffee got me out of bed to come to Crossroads. Now I don't drink my coffee until after the service. I don't want to have to run to pee and miss 1 minute of the message. That's they teach in seminary right there. There's a test of whether or not you're doing good. This is amazing. For the growth we've had and people who've had their lives touched and are hearing about God in a way that's compelling and understandable in such a short span. Crazy. Awesome. CityLink. Let's talk about CityLink. We talked about how CityLink was going to be this thing. By the way, all these things I'm talking about, it's called the Game Change Campaign. It wasn't called the Incremental Growth Campaign. If it was the incremental growth campaign, we would have taken a look at the Renner facility in Mason and this building here and said, okay, how can we get more cops to do traffic flow? How can we build something smaller in the building to help with this or that? How can we do? No, we said we need to change the game, to change the way things operate. That's why we're doing multi-site. With CityLink, we didn't want to say, hey, how do we get more clothes to people who are homeless? As good and as healthy as that is. How do we get more? So there's a lot of organizations that do those things, but our poverty rate is not changing in our city. So we realized what God was asking us to do is partner with best-in-class people, come together, have a site where we would take someone into a place of self-sufficiency and coming out of generational poverty, the working poor, to a place of wholeness. And so here was the inspirational drawing that we had. We said, this is probably what this place is going to look like when we bought it. And then this is actually what was built. Boy, it's the same. It's the same. We feel like sometimes when you cast a vision and you can't do it, you just say, hey, I can't do it. But we feel when we say we're going to do this, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and no be no. You have a very strong track record of what you say actually doing it. Awesomeness, awesome. And then what we said with the $30 million plan is if we had $30 million, we would be able to construct CityLink, but we would have no operating expenses. So we would have to live on faith, figure out whether we're going to delay the start of it or whatever, but that's what we talked about. What we've actually done is we've built and opened the building. We're now serving 189 clients in just 2 months. We have a waiting list of 150, which is actually good, because we're not just kind of handing out resources, as good as that might be for some organizations. We're doing something different. And so actually to have a waiting list ensures that it's sustainable and you're sure that the people who come actually want to go to a new place. You're sure that people want to actually be in a holistic, systemic process change of their life. 118 volunteers are engaged. We've generated $4 million in additional funding. Crossroads, we've become accidentally sort of a venture capitalist church where people see that we're jumping in and they say, oh, you're there? Okay, we trust it. We're going to throw more money behind it. So we've had corporations, we've had foundations throw an additional $4 million into the project, and we're seeing 50 new clients every week, and 2 years of operating expenses are now available. Folks, it is magnificent what is happening, utterly magnificent. And that's not even the life change. The life change of people getting jobs. One guy got a job this last week and came back and he said, hey, I need to go through the budgeting workshop. I need to get a budget. I need to get a plan. And I need to also get through changing gears. I got to get good transportation changing gears. By the way, it's one of their ministries, one of their partners, helping people get into transportation. It actually was started by a person here at Crossroads who follows the leader. His name is Joel Bachelman. Started a really innovative way for people to donate cars, and they fix them up and they sell them and they give them warranty items, all this kind of stuff. It's really, really amazing. All of this is first in class, only in class. It's what God does. He takes us to new places. He doesn't take us just to improve old things. He takes us to new places. Here at Crossroads Oakley, one of the difficult things that staff and volunteers have to deal with here is 50% of every call at our front desk, every person who stops in is someone looking for money, looking for a gift card, looking for this. Or people who have real needs just coming in. It is amazingly stressful to have that kind of volume and to deal wisely, gracefully, lovingly, all that stuff. And we don't give any just checks, resources to anybody outside of Crossroads. We don't feel like that's the right thing to do. We build infrastructure to help people outside of Crossroads. That's what CityLink is, and it also helps people inside of Crossroads. We will give and help somebody who's here committed to the church, and we have a whole process to go through that and a team that looks at that, figure out how to best partner, all that kind of stuff. But it is amazingly stressful. The vast majority, that 50% of the people who come in and call, are just looking for immediate one-time shot, and then we never see them alone. It's really rough. So I called down to CityLink and said, we're getting slammed. Crossroads Oakley is getting slammed with all this. You guys got to be getting crushed. Are you having a lot of people coming in and doing that? Because I know that's not the core mission of CityLink. And they said, actually, no, we're not having a problem at all. I said, what do you mean? So we get calls all the time. People say, hey, I understand you're trying to get me out of poverty. Is that true? I say, that's true. And so I'll be down next week. We were casting vision here to help us understand the vision of CityLink of getting people out, not just giving resources, clothing, food, as good and as healthy as that is for organizations to do, but actually a systemic way to get you out and self-sustaining. And all of a sudden I realized, my goodness, we accidentally came onto a marketing plug where people have never heard that before. Going to the organization, they never heard the vision of get you out of poverty. Man, it is game changing. And why is it happening? It's because you heard and you are doing. That's what we are doing as a church. It is beautiful. It's transcendent. It's exactly what God wants. In the book of Matthew chapter 21, Jesus says this. What do you think? Man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I will not. But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, I will go, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? What do you think? See, God's not impressed in our first reaction. And he's not depressed with our first reaction. He's not depressed with, no, I'm not doing it. He's not depressed with that. And he's not impressed with, oh, had a good time, church. Yes, I'll do it. No, what is it? He cares what you do. He cares what you act on. This is always what defines spiritual growth. Always. This is always what defines spiritual closeness with God. Am I following? Am I doing? And don't be bummed out if you let God down in the past. Don't be excited if you have good feelings right now. God is looking for where we, and this is part of encouragement for us, because for 9 years, we're waiting for all the pieces to fall in place with sibling. 9 years. And you're getting it done, and it's only the beginning. Well done. Well done. South Africa. This is our biggest wrinkle. I'm going to spend some time on this. What do we say we were going to do in South Africa? We would do an additional medical clinic beyond the largest privately funded AIDS hospice that we did and we staffed. We would do 5,000 people holistically served. If you've been around for any length of time, you know that this was the most difficult one. And let's talk about this for a moment. Shortly after we had our commitments for the Game Change, I was over in South Africa, did a little visit, and there was a number of things that I saw there and was interacting with that was really very troubling to me. Coming up before that, we had a memorandum of understanding, us and our partner, our only partner in South Africa, about if we're going to put millions more into the things that were happening, we needed a different governing structure. There needed to be some different systems because the weight of what we were going to do and the people and the money just couldn't be supported by the current thing. So we had this memorandum of understanding. It was all good. It was fine. And then when it actually came to actually sign the documents that our black South African lawyer, who understands the culture, was walking us through, our partner wouldn't sign. Wouldn't do that. And I'm sitting there while I'm over there real wrestling with this, and I'm thinking, wow. And I started to hear that voice that I've started to learn how God speaks to me. I started to hear thoughts I just didn't want to have. Thoughts like, this isn't going to be able to work long term. Thoughts like, man, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we had some simple agreements, and they're not being followed through. And if we can't follow through in these ones, who knows what's going to happen in the future? Stuff like that. I'd always err on the side. We've always erred on the side that we're Western Americans, and God isn't a Western American, so let's not put our grid of understanding on some other culture. So we were always erring on the side of grace when there's a disagreement, saying, well, you know, you come from a chief culture, things are done differently there versus we come from a democratic culture, so we'll just kind of do it. And finally, as I started to see some things that were troubling to me, God started reminding me that I've read the Bible a number of times, and actually there's not a single chief in the Bible. Jesus is the name. There's always a plurality of leaders. And I started realizing, man, we're giving way too much grace, and there's a bottleneck that's crushing us. And there were some other things that were happening. It was really hard. And I'll tell you what, I said to folks who were, this is behind the scenes stuff I've never talked about. I said to the people who were there, I said, we need to kill this. This seems to be, we can't. I'm telling you, it's never going to be easy. It needs to end this. Now, we didn't at that point. We waited about 9 more months until the plurality of leadership saw that it was right, and then that we announced it. I'll tell you, when you settle that you're about following the leader, and his name is Jesus, following the leader, and he is God, life gets really simple. Not easy, very simple. I mean, of course people are going to be upset. People have made commitments because of all this. Of course, oh my goodness, I can't believe. Of course, but, hey, if I sense that this is what God wants, simple, done. Simple. Not easy, but simple. Man, the most complex life you can have is if you make decisions going, what would everybody else think about this decision? I don't know. What does other people have the values related to sex? What does everybody else think? That's the most complex thing that you can do. You will live a confused, spiritually impotent life. When you settle on what this is what God will be pleased with and go there, it is always worth it. Now, no question, part of our shortcoming, I think, and the Game Change, why we're lagging behind right now, is a lot of people made commitments, and what they really were excited about was South Africa. And one of the things I've learned at 17 years of Crossroads is give people a reason not to give, and they'll take it every time. Every time. And so what you do is simply you say, you know what, the commitments fall off, whatever, this is between us and God at this point. And you go, and by the way, you know, we're pretty smart people. If we just wanted to keep the giving going, we're pretty smart. We could have just said, well, let's keep teasing this out. We'll do a little bit, not fun, not give a lot. We'll just keep it going. And we could very smart, could have figured out how to do that. Would have been very dishonoring to all of you and very dishonoring to God. And what do you know? As a result of that, I told you, when you hear God, the greatest motivator is the results from doing what God has said. We're starting to see results in South Africa. So what's been happening right now? We've vetted two world-class partners. We've diversified two instead of one, Poise for Change. We're caring for 2,600 AIDS patients who are alive right now every month because of your giving, because of our giving. Jesus says there are many people who get to heaven and God said, no, I'm not letting you in because I don't know who you are. And so, what do you mean I don't know who you are? I went to church. You didn't help the less fortunate, so you didn't help me. It's a hard passage to interpret, but that's just what he says. You know what this says? This says, when you go before God, there's 2,600 people going, I know this, I know him, help me. At least 2,600 people, and it continues, 94,300 pounds of food have been delivered to partners over there in South Africa. We've had 31,400 volunteer hours, and we just had to send a group of 130 people over, and any of the 130 who went over has been there and said, my goodness, the poise for change is greater now than it's ever been. We took a brief step back, we're platforming and ready for more exponential growth that has ever happened. Friends, I'm telling you, when you sense that God will be pleased with something, make an aggressive mistake. Any mistake I've ever made hearing from God has never been a mistake. Go and move. There is a blessing to it. You can clap at any time. You should be happy about that. This is, honestly, I'm ecstatic about South Africa. Ecstatic. India. What do we say about India? What we said is we'd have 170 new aftercare beds. We have 100 social enterprise slots. 10 new staff positions for our partners in India. Staff positions are not overhead, it's infrastructure. You cannot change anything substantially without staff. It's infrastructure that changes these. And in these four things, the first one was multi-site. We could go to school on that. There's some really great churches in America who are doing this. We could go to school on that. But these other things, there's no one who'd ever done any one of these three. No one. So, when you change the game, you have to be ready to be first out of the gate, first following the leader, and you got to be ready for curveballs. And in India, we've had some curveballs, and my goodness, we've hit every one of them. It's been really crazy. Look at the results. First of all, we've done so far 6 fully functional aftercare homes. They're caring for 55 girls. We're doing 6 more homes in 2013 that are ramping up and going. We've engaged and listed 1,000 Indian churches. This is one of those things we never even thought of. Once we started getting into it because of your giving, because of all of our giving, we started to realize, my goodness, there's a sleeping giant of the Indian church who has properties and has power and prayer power, 1,000. This would be like pre-Civil War if there was 1,000 churches in the South that actually saw God's heart towards slavery. What would have happened if 1,000 churches in the South woke up and said, whoa, 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 whoa. This is what's happening. This is like in India. And also we're funding rescues through IJM. And we have 25 on the ground in India staff who is building into girls' lives and changing them. 25. And we're engaging other U.S. churches in the same way that we've been a sort of a leader in the funding of CityLink. Other churches from around the country have seen what we're doing and they trust us. They said, why would we reinvent that? We had a church in Indiana said, those things you're doing, we're going to throw $250,000 of our own money towards that. And all this happens is because we heard God and wanted to follow. And you get following, who knows what's going to happen behind you? Who knows? This is utterly, as far as I know, unprecedented stuff. It's crazy, beautiful. All the things that you've been sacrificing for, all the things that you've altered in your family budget, all the things that other people have done and you couldn't do because of your giving, all of those things, you're now tasting the results of hearing from God and going, and people all over the globe are better for, friends. That's exactly what every person is included in who follows Jesus, every single one. And so today, just encourage you, cross the line. We're coming to the home stretch of the Game Change Camp. Just say, man, it's been hard, but cross. Look where you're going. Cross the line. A lot of us are newer, and you're sitting here going, man, I'd like to be on it. We'd love you to be on that. would love for you to increase our potency, our results, and what we say. It speaks, it has for 17 years. We'd love for you to be on that. Cross the line and get engaged. We'd love to have that. The book of John, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." My sheep hear. When I hear, what I do? We follow, we do, we act. And Jesus says there's a unique place of security in the hand of God for all who are following. Not all who are believing, all who are following. Doesn't mean life is going to be perfect, but there is a unique grace of security that comes when you are behind the one you should be. Seriously, right now, pinch myself. You should be saying, "Oh God, I get to be a part of this." Pinch, be careful what I pinch. But you got to be just going, "This is crazy," and it's crazy because we're in a place where God is uniquely funneling some grace and His blessings. Because wherever there's a tribe that's serious about His work, that's a tribe He works in greatly. Well done, awesome. God, thank you for the examples all through the scriptures, all through history, and specifically the last 2 years of history, of how normal people banded together can make a difference. And I just personally thank you, God, that I get to be a part of it. I'm thankful for those people 17 years ago that invited Lib and I to come here. I could not imagine being anywhere else, doing anything else. That's just another example of your generosity. Thank you. Amen.